The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Dr. Suzanne Crowe is with me in the meantime, consultant in paediatric intensive care at Crumlin Children's Hospital for our kids' health check to talk about clicky hips. Is that right, Suzanne?
Yeah, that's right. That's the old-fashioned term for congenital dislocated hips.
So is that just one of the things we're going to talk about? Are there other hip issues, hip conditions that parents need to be mindful of?
Well, this is why I'm not really allowed to talk at the dinner table about kids, because there's always other problems to talk about.
So let's start then with the clicky hip, the congenital dislocated hip, as
yeah,
you call it.
So it's funny because I think people always think it's the ball part of the hip is the problem, but in fact, it's the socket. So in some children, a really small proportion, only about 1 in 2,000 children are born with a very shallow hip joint, and that needs to be picked up and then monitored and maybe treated.
And how is it treated?
Well, we always take the view that we won't do surgery unless we absolutely have to. So a lot of monitoring will go on if it's picked up just with ultrasound. And then if it does need to be treated when the child is 12 to 18 months, they'll be put in a type of a harness which will hold the ball part into the socket. And that pressure makes the socket grow. It's pretty clever, actually.
All right. OK, so it forces. I'm kind of doing a visual thing here with my hands. But anyway, I have my hand closed around my fist. So people will do it. Can do it at home and imagine it. It forces the ball into the socket and it can't move. It's kind of it's held in place pretty tightly, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful thing about the human body is that if you apply pressure and use to a part of your body, it grows and gets stronger. And that's why we go to the gym, because that's the same process.
So what's actually growing, though, when it's in there, like the bone?
Yeah. So by applying the ball into the socket, and now I'm doing the same with my hands, the socket gets bigger, deeper and stronger, and it's then suitable for use.
And how long often would kids have to be in that harness for?
Well, it is a lot to ask parents to put up with, to be honest, and the child.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be in the harness for a period of months, not years, but months. And there's a lot of back and forth with the hospital, changing of the harness. You've got to have a special car seat. It might be quite tricky to lie them down in the cot. So there's a lot, but you still avoid surgery, and surgery then is the last thing if the harness doesn't work.
And if it does work and the harness comes off and the socket has kind of developed sufficiently, is it still something then that needs to be monitored over a period of years afterwards, or how does it work?
Yeah, I mean, we do know that kids that are born with this, that they are the ones that may develop early arthritis. So they need to be lifelong monitoring, and they may develop arthritis in their 20s or 30s or 40s and need intervention then.
Okay, so as you say, around the dinner table, the problem is, you said there's always other issues. Well, what are the other kind of hip issues that we want to talk about or keep an eye out for?
Well, really, any child who develops a limp. Where they were previously walking fine, if you've an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old who has a high temperature and starts saying that their hip is painful and they're limping on it, that is a worrying sign. And you'd have to consider a thing called septic arthritis, which is a septic hip where infection has gone to the hip joint.
Okay.
And that's pretty important to pick up.
Why? What might happen in a situation like that?
The joint will be damaged if the infection is not sorted out. So it needs strong antibiotics to get into the joint.
Yeah, because I mean, other parents listening to this will be nodding along. Again, this is not the clicky hip one. The other one, I remember being in Temple Street and they thought maybe there was an infection in the knee. It was in the knee. But again, there was just a kind of a sense of, you know, we just have to treat that first and foremost before we kind of find out what else is wrong, because you just do not want an infection right in the joint with such a young child when it's developing.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of this is very much the approach in paediatrics is we're looking to treat problems, but we're also trying to make sure that they grow properly, develop properly, and you don't have problems later on in life.
Yeah, I'm revealing all my children's medical history here on there. They'll thank me for it in a few years' time. So what might be causing it? Like, is the cause of infection a concern there, or it's more just the location where the infection has gotten to?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, you could have a nasty ear infection bacteria gets into the bloodstream and for some reason we don't really understand, seeds the joint. Mm. Could be any joint, but for some reason the hip is one for it. Or it could be you have big lymph nodes, big glands in the bottom of your tummy that are swollen because you have a viral infection, and those glands cause pain in the joint and maybe seed the joint as well.
Okay, so as you say, kind of a temperature and a complaining of pain in around the hip and maybe a limp as well.
Yeah.
Something to really keep an eye out for. What about as we move into kind of, that was up to age 8, 9, 10 you were talking about, to keep an eye out for that. What about as kids get a bit older?
Yeah, and then all problems get worse in the teenage years.
Oh, yeah.
So as kids grow, they stretch up, obviously, but a lot of children...
You're probably like a typical doctor, though. It's like, it doesn't matter how bad they get. You know, limbs could be hanging
off. Have a glass of water.
You're fine.
Go to bed early. Yeah. Teenagers often put on a fair amount of weight just before they take that growth stretch. And we do know that heavier children are more likely to develop a thing where the top of the hip joint kind of separates off the rest of the hip. And that's a worry. It's called a slipped capital femoral epiphysis, which is a real mouthful.
Yeah.
That's why we usually shorten it to SUFI. And that's an issue because if that little piece of the hip is not reattached, it will lose its blood supply and the hip will become arthritic in the future.
Oh, right. Okay. How do people notice that happening?
So it's a more gradual thing. The teenager will just maybe not engage in sports as much, say that they're getting some hip pain, but it might not be there all the time. It could come and go for a period of weeks, maybe months. And then eventually it does become quite severe and you will take your child to the hospital at that stage and it'll be seen on X-ray.
You said something there that I didn't realise. Kids will put on a bit of weight before that growth spurt.
Yeah, quite a lot of teenagers
do. Just the body preparing for it.
Yeah, it's what I think we used to call it puppy fat, but I don't think you're really meant to call it that anymore. But yeah, it's a normal hormonal response.
Oh, cause that's again, yeah, we're not meant to say it, but that's what puppy fat actually was the body preparing for a growth spurt.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Interesting.
The human body is great.
The human body is great, which is why I love this slot. Listen, Suzanne, thanks a million for coming in to us. Dr. Suzanne Crowe, consultant of paediatric intensive care at Crumlin Children's Hospital.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.